Hey, everybody. Welcome to Riders Meeting. I'm your host, David Pingree, joined by Bruce Marotta and a special guest today, Mr. RJ Hampshire, man, coming off the win in Phoenix. RJ, congrats, man.
Yeah, thank you. It was a tough day, but it ended up being awesome. You know how it ended, and the whole main event was actually pretty, I mean, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it came pretty easy once I got out front, kind of had that little bit of a gap, which is, you know how it is. It's always nice when you have a little bit of a breathing room.
Yeah, you didn't have much pressure, just kind of shut your mind off and put your laps in just like a typical practice day is what it looked like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had a big case there in the time qualifying early in the day, and man, was hurting pretty bad. And you can kind of tell my heat race, like, that was ugly. So then, yeah, main event, just kind of put everything into it, and yeah, I got a decent start. And then, yeah, once I got into the lead, I kind of knew something went on behind me, and had about like 4 or 5 second gap, and just kind of managed it from there, which is, yeah, both my wins so far this season have kind of been about the same.
Yeah, nice way to get them. What did you case?
So that double going across the start straight. So first time qualifying, I felt like I wasn't even close to it, but there was a tough block off the face on the right side, and it caught like the back of my bike. So I lost all the drive, and dude, I came up, I mean, I've cased a lot of jumps. I came up so dang short, and
I saw that,
dude. Yeah. Took a shot straight off the chin. My jaw like was over, you know, when you hit it really hard, I mean, it's not dislocated, but it moves your whole jaw. So that, my back and everything. And yeah, dude, that was a heavy one. So yeah, after that, I'm not 20 years old anymore, so it hurts a bit more.
So RJ, was that like, so you were feeling that coming into like when the heat races started, like, did that affect you for the night?
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, I still qualified that practice. Like after I cased it, I still did another lap and I went P1 for that first time qualifying. Well, then we had a couple hours before our next one. And then, dude, that last time qualifying, like, I was like, all right, I mean, everything's kind of starting to hit me now. Like, yeah, I was definitely hurting. I wasn't fast in that heat or the second time qualifying. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the heat race. Like, it wasn't pretty. So it's just kind of like, all right, salvage what I can and everything I have into that main event.
Yeah.
It's nice when you're lining up for the main, that adrenaline will cover up an awful lot, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then Nate honestly kind of saved me, because, like, dude, I was even stressing a bit after my heat race. I'm like, man, you know, I've had the speed. I've kind of been the guy that can do it. And then that heat race was ugly. And Nate literally down there holding the can, or not even on the gate yet before that. And he kind of got on me. He's like, hey, look, like, you're the guy. Like, you're the fastest guy here. You know you can beat all these dudes. And yeah, I just had a kind of good talk. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I better stop being a bitch here. Like, I can figure this out for this main event. And yeah, I mean, sure enough,
that was Ramsey perfectly. You're talking about?
Yeah, my team manager.
Yeah.
So
Nate knows how to get it done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he said the right things at the right time right there and kind of snapped me right back in. It's like, okay, look, you've been solid leading up to this. You have one case. Like, you ain't going to let that ruin your whole day. And yeah, sure enough, we pulled it together when it counted.
Well, that's and awesome, RJ, man. Yeah, and that's one thing that's always been about you is, I mean, I've seen you many times just riding through that pain, and you've been really good at always turning things around like that, you know? So
yeah, that's what it was almost like. It reminded me too much of my years past, like how much pain I was in, and I was like, all right, you know, it's going to be one of those nights where you kind of have to deal with kind of what the night gives you. And yeah, I mean, for to kind of get thrown, I wouldn't say get handed to me, but yeah, just executed the main really well. Like, that's probably the best I rode all day. We made some kind of good changes leading up to that from the heat race on my bike. Cause I felt like I was like searching, like front wheel traction for a lot of it, just for how that dirt is. Like, man, it's so hard pack and it's kind of choppy. Like, even the ruts, all throughout the day, like, yeah, they kind of in the corners, they were there, but they were super choppy. Like, they weren't going to grab you. Which, yeah, like, that messes up your front wheel feel or your front end feel. And then the rhythms, though, in the transitions, like, they built it super steep over the weekend. and it was ruddy in the bottom of those, but those were like a soft ruddy. So it would pull you one way, pull you the other. So it was kind of hard to really set your bike up. But for the main event, we just kind of softened some things up with my front, sped the rear up a little bit. And yeah, that was the best my bike was all day.
Hey, RJ, I have a question before we get into this for the night. That rhythm section, obviously that thing was massive, super long. Did
both of them were long.
Yeah. How like, I don't know, like, you know, getting into the race, could you see people almost forgetting kind of where they were at, you know, like for timing?
I mean, yeah, like I like press day a lot, but whenever mm-hmm. it comes to a race like this, and like you had those guys that rode press day and they had that both rhythms pretty much down right. from the first time they hit the track, which I mean, that changes a lot. Like my first practice, even my first time practice, like you're still trying to learn the rhythms and where we're at. Like, dude, I was OJing everything.
That's yeah.
Yeah. Because of how long the rhythms were, but also how they were built. Like, I feel like we had a very tame, you know, first few rounds where, you know, the 4-footers or whatever were maybe 2.5, 3, and they weren't near as steep. Well, this weekend, man, they built those rhythms. Like they were some tall boys and peaky. Like there wasn't much room for air, which definitely, I mean, yeah, it changes it up, especially when you had a mile long rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, honestly, I'll tell you the toughest part was that rhythm after the finish. You'd go left, you had a big triple, and then you would come so fast into that 3-on-off. And then you mm-hmm. went to a 3-3, but that 3-3, man, it was so peaky and steep. Like the transitions were really tight. So it was so hard to, like, you know, hit your marks. And I mean, you've seen a bunch of guys kind of go down there, or at least, you know, make mistakes.
Yeah, that yeah. was anytime you're carrying more speed into a rhythm, it gets much more difficult to time it because you either are blipping the throttle or coasting off of it. You know, it's easier to time it when you're controlling the throttle, like accelerating at them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like if it's tight out of a corner, like it's much easier to maybe triple in and then, you know, do whatever throughout. But you're hitting a big triple, supercross triple, and then you're gaining more speed. Like I would off the
shift
big
fourth?
Supercross triple. No, I would shift to third. And then okay. I would hit the face of the 3-on in third. I would shift back down to second just because of how tight that next transition was. And then I would hit that 3-3 in second gear, which, I mean, that doesn't happen on a normal racetrack. Like,
no.
You're not shifting down. Yeah,
and
shifting
one
down
of them,
the rhythm.
One of them was like the takeoff was a little flatter because I kept seeing guys seat bounce. And I'm thinking,
yeah, that was
it's the weirdest spot to seat bounce because you're going so fast.
Yeah, exactly. That was in the opposite rhythm. So we were going like 3-3, and then you kind of turned a little bit, and then you had to seat a 3 to get over. I mean, it was different, like it was cool. And then it was another tight transition 3 into the corner. But like,
could you not stay standing there, RJ, and just like kind of go a little long with your front right into that next pocket and like transition right into that 3?
I think Anderson did it maybe once or twice throughout the day. But man, the risk to reward on that rhythm, like for how tall it was and how tight that next, you know, face was, it wasn't forgiving, which is why I don't think anyone, I mean, even in the night show, like the main events, like, dude, there was no one, you know, standing that. I think especially after they seen Thrasher, how he,
yeah,
because that, mm-hmm. that was the jump right there. Like he just didn't get the lift off of that. And
I think it's funny that, like, you know, not funny, kind of weird that felt so worried about not hurting guys that they've limited the number of whoops they're going to put in. They're building them with dozers, no more dragon's backs, which I actually kind of agree with, but they'll make these mile long rhythm lanes with super peaky jumps, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems odd to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so weird. And I said it over the weekend. It was like, man, I spent 6 years of my life having nightmares over the whoops that they build on the weekends, like the races. Like, dude, for so long I was terrified of these things because of how big and steep they used to build them. And then now it's like, dude, the whoops aren't even like, I personally like dozer whoops, just because they're more round, but they don't even build them big right now. Like they're so mm-hmm. small and round, which I mean, yeah, it's a different type of difficult, like yeah, you're still going to get a bit sketchy, but I feel like everybody can just kind of send it through those things. Like, I get the safety side of it also, but it's like,
but that can almost be more sketchier, because then anyone could just go even faster through them, and you know.
Yeah, that's the thing is, yeah, I mean, you can say it's for the safety side, but I personally think it's for the racing side. Like, they want closer racing. And I mean, yeah, you're not going to have much separation whenever you can literally wheelie three in and hop around and still get out of that thing, you know, safe.
Yeah. Hey, well, let's get into this here. We've been bench racing about your night and the track itself, but let's get into the main event here. It's brought to you by Rock and Turf. Rock and Turf, check them out on Instagram. Awesome artificial grass, hardscape, anything you guys need. Great company. Also, this show is sponsored by Maxxis, maxxis.com. Check out their full line of light duty truck tires. So Sprinter, Jeeps, trucks, whatever you got, they make rad stuff. The main event, man, let's talk about a couple of things. And I guess one, we should mention Thrasher's get off. Like, you kind of talked about how it happened, man, a dirty get off. And I think he actually got lucky, because dude got ragdolled. Yeah. And I think he, you know, says he got some bone bruising and a little concussion, but he could be out for a while if that thing would have just gone any different. It was ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. How it threw him, he got super lucky. And, there's pros and cons to how they build these tracks, like in the middle of the trends and the rhythms. They don't pack those in, so they're super soft. So if you jump off and you're landing on the side of one of the jumps, like, you're stopped, you almost come to a complete stop. And that's where he landed, was on the in the middle. So he definitely had some cushion. Like, if he would have landed on the track, for how hard packed that was, yeah, it would have been ugly. But yeah, luckily, I mean, I like just seen his posted stuff also, where I think he's good. Like, the main reason they red flagged that one is from just him being in that position where they couldn't really get to him.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Imagine if he'd have got flung off the same way, but to the right, and landed on concrete.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Would, I mean, still be in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. Even the track, though, in some of those areas, like, it was just as hard as that concrete.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. We'll talk a little bit about the main event, RJ. You know, you kind of early point of the race, and then when you got into the lead, how did your mindset shift there?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to kind of just think about the years past and being, you know, having a mindset of I'm going to win every second of every race. And that's just kind of not where I'm at right now. It's like, look, I'm going to take it as it comes to me. I'm not going to try to overdo it too early. You know, if I have opportunity late, then, you know, I'm going to go for it. So yeah, I was in a perfect position off the start, right behind the two guys that I needed to beat. And yeah, the team talked to me before, like, hey, look, put some pressure on these guys and, you know, see what's going to happen and be there at the end if you need to. So yeah, I just had a little bit of pressure on them. They started making mistakes. Smitty almost had a big one.
Yeah.
Whenever he first went into the lead, in that rhythm we were talking about, where you go three on, off, three, three, it grabbed him and shot him right, landed on the tough blocks. I don't know if they really showed it much on TV, but that was early. I'd say that was lap two. So whenever he first went to the lead, he did that, and I watched the whole thing because I'm kind of just sitting back watching it. And then, yeah, of course, I've seen the other mistakes they were making. So, yeah, I was just kind of like, all right, let this play out. I actually had a pretty good pass on Levi, I'd say maybe a couple laps later, and then – yeah, Jordan kind of handed it over to me and literally was like, okay, you know, I'm in the perfect spot now. I was worried about myself, click these laps off. And, yeah, I just seen the gap kind of grow within a couple laps. And, yeah, it's always nice to be able to manage it whenever you know you have the speed if you need it, but you don't necessarily want to kind of go into that risk, especially for how the track was. I mean, it was tough in a lot of areas. Yeah, 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 super slick. Like, dude, you're getting so much wheel spin before the triples, like the big triples.
Yeah, you could hear it. The cameras that set up that one where you kind of went underneath the stadium a little bit there, and you come out, you'd see the back end slide a little bit to the right and then catch, and you hear it go, yeah, like you kind of hear the motor change.
Yep. Yeah. Both of those triples are the same.
Yeah. It's crazy. I want to ask you about the incident between Kitchen and Smith, because it's, I mean, it was a bummer, but it was definitely the kind of a pivotal point in that race that kind of opened up some space for you, took Smith out of the battle between he and Kitchen. So Levi, in my mind, kind of did the right thing. You see that red cross flag, you don't want to go all the way on, because it's going to be hard to then stop and not jump, right? So he goes to just that first level and starts rolling. Smith doesn't see it, which again, the way the angle of the thing was, and RJ maybe speak to it better being on the bike, but I totally would get it if he just didn't see it and jumped up and then was like, oh crap, there's not room for both of us here. Luckily, barely clipped Kitchen and went down himself. But what'd you think of that whole thing? Did you watch it back?
Yeah. But I think it was a lot more to do with the mistakes Jordan was already making. So then it puts him in a situation where he's kind of panicking and maybe trying to rush that, where he maybe should have just followed, you know, behind, because he was definitely trying to go for a pass. Like, I'm pretty sure he kind of went for it in the corner before. But yeah, just kind of where that where Ryder was down at, it was in one of the transitions, and in the transitions there was those ruts where it would just shoot you and you really didn't know where to go. So I mean, I get the whole, you know, maybe Levi checking up just for that, you know, situation. And yeah, maybe I don't think Jordan possibly, he didn't see what was going on ahead. You know, Levi seen the whole thing, but I just don't think Jordan had his, you know, he was looking a few jumps ahead, and yeah, sure enough, right into the back of him. And he got lucky also. Like, that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually, for him to come back to fourth from the incidents he had, hell of a ride on his part, actually, just to get fourth and keep himself in this title fight. Levi Kitchen doing kind of the, what he's been doing all year, really just solid and steady. Nothing super crazy. He's shown a lot of speed at times. He ran up on you that second main at the Triple Crown, I think it was at Anaheim, where he got right to you at the finish. So he's definitely fast, but he's been just very patient and letting things come to him. So, I'm curious how RJ, now you're going to have some time to kind of think about this, and, you know, you've got Jordan and yourself, who probably, I don't know, maybe on paper have a little bit better speed than Levi. He's just been very steady and consistent. And I think he's kind of saying, you know what, I'm gonna let these two make mistakes, or see if they do, I'll just be steady. What are your thoughts here? As you come into these handful of last rounds, the points are super tight. It might as well be scratch. You know what I mean? The winners, you guys are just gonna have to go win.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, it seems like to me, like I felt like Levi could have been the guy yesterday with, he could have gone the fastest, like he did in one of the practices, I believe. But even like the heat race, like whole shotted, led every single lap. So man, I was honestly kind of surprised whenever I made that pass on him, you know, pretty easy in that main event. And then, like, you know, we kind of gapped him a bit. I just think he struggles finding that pace early. And I even talked to him after the race, and he's like, man, like, I'm not comfortable enough being up front right now. Like, whenever I'm up front and I've got you guys right on me, like, you know, it's so tough to, you know, focus on myself in the head. And it's like I said, as soon as you get that, you know, 4 or 5 second gap, like, you can manage it and be fine. Which if he has that, he possibly could have won last night. Like, that's just kind of how it was. And the speed with kind of all three of us are, we're pretty dang close.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if, you know, I just don't know if he's able to adapt really to kind of the new tracks, like how they prep it, you know, I'd say for that main event, like, in finding those lines fast. Cause once he finds them, like, man, he was solid once he got to the, you know, that gap that I had, you know, he was really good. It was just those opening laps where he struggled and we both got around him. And honestly, that's what happened at Anaheim 1 also. When I won, I made the pass on him, I believe, first lap, and then it took him a while to get going. And then I think he ended up third that night, but he passed back into third. Like, he was going backwards in the beginning.
Right. Yep. He got Volan back. Yeah, you're right. He came back. That's interesting. So it'll be fun to watch you three kind of see who can figure it out in these last handful of rounds. And it is tough. You know, you talk about leading with someone right on you. It is so hard. Like, if a guy gets a lead, like Kenny did in the 450 race, you can kind of just, like I said, you mark the guy that's behind you, put your laps in just like it's a test track day, no big deal. But when someone's right on you and you're having to think every single corner defensively, like, okay, can he get inside of me? Do I hear him? What side of the track is he on? Like, man, it is a mental fight to stay focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at my San Diego round when I hole shotted, and yeah, it makes it a lot different whenever it's muddy. But dude, I was leading, doing rhythms that guys I was lapping were doing as the dudes behind me were still tripling and jumping like it was a dry track. And I had no idea.
Right. I pointed that out, RJ. I noticed that because I don't think you knew they were jumping that, right?
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, dude, I don't want to hit that. Like, dude, you know how slick and sketchy that was? Dude, I cased the triple when it was dry in the beginning of the day. And these guys, you talk about wheel spin. Dude, San Diego, we were – you started spinning from when you landed off that rhythm. You hit the left, and then you spun all the way off the face. Like, it was just luck of the draw if it was going to hook up or not.
Well, you don't want to be that guy who's leading and tries some big jump. And you're like, well, I don't know. I just thought I could do it. And you eat crap. And, you know.
Exactly. I mean, and then I think back to, you know, New Jersey last year with Anstey. Like, dude, the only reason we jumped everything in that main event whenever it was super muddy is because Anstey hole-shotted. And I was right there with him. And he jumped everything first lap. Like, it was perfectly fine, dry still. And, like, it's just crazy that if, you know, I wouldn't have seen that, there was no way I was doing that. If I would have hole-shotted or, like, a hole-shot at San Diego, that cost me the win that night, I feel like. I mean, because I had no idea. I was out there going double single, and these dudes were jumping over my head.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Moving forward here, I want to move this along so we don't hang you up for too long, RJ. Joe Shimoda with a third, and his season's been terrible. I mean, let's just be honest. I'm sure he's super disappointed. He's riding great when he's in the mix with you guys, but just starts and crashes and all kinds of stuff. So a good step in the right direction for him. You ever had a season like that, RJ, where just, man, you felt good even coming in and it just goes sideways?
Yeah, I do. And I know where Joe's kind of at right now. You know, and there's going to be the media, of course, thinking, he made the wrong call to go, you know, HRC after, you know, he was unreal that outdoor season on that PC bike. But also, like, I know how it's going to be. He's going to adapt and they're going to figure some things out. Like, that team's solid also. Like, they're going to do whatever they can to get him comfortable.
Yeah.
I think it's just taking a little bit longer than what they would have liked. But you're going to see Joe up there battling with us three also. Like, that's not just going to be, you know, that. Like, he's got the speed. I don't think his start was too bad over the weekend, but we also just had that gap. Like, we talk about, you get that gap, and it's hard to
manage. Yeah, it's harder.
We just manage it. Like, I seen Levi and I seen Joe, like, right away. She, like, came out, got into the lead, and it was just like, okay, like, I know what I got to do to, you know, finish this thing off, and that's kind of the same way Levi was. And Joe's, of course, then, like, he's the charger trying to get us, but it's very easy to kind of gauge that.
Yeah, and I think Joe could work up and be one of the guys getting in that mix, stealing some points from somebody. So he's fast enough to become a factor in the title, the points chase.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, Thrasher now too, also, like, once he gets back going, same thing. Like, it's not just gonna be us three on the weekends. I mean, I wish we probably could have had, you know, a couple more guys over the weekend, because I don't think Smitty still gets a fourth if, you know, we had a couple guys up there with us, of course, you know, points gap, points changes. But it's also nice that, you know, if one weekend I have an off weekend or a crash or whatever, like, at least I know I can still kind of get back up to, you know, getting good points.
Yeah. Garrett Marchmakes came back to fifth from being way back. It was a great ride for him and that Club MX Yamaha team. Oldenburg was sixth, Beaumaire seventh. Man, I feel like I got catfished a little bit on Beaumaire. He was so good at A1. I thought, this kid is, like, legit. He's going to be up near the front. And we just have, I mean, the mud's understandable, but we haven't seen it at these dry tracks either.
Yeah, I rode with him a bit before the season started, and I knew he was riding well. Honestly, though, you look at Anaheim 1, and he's in B practice, which goes out before us, tracks much faster than where we are. So he starts the day off with a lot of confidence. I'm pretty sure he was P2 in qualifying, which you start the day with a lot of confidence like that. You're like, you're riding a high horse. Then, you know, he gets put in the A group and kind of reality sets in a little bit where it's like, okay, these guys are still pretty gnarly. But I do think he'll be solid. Like, he's a really good starter. We're on a very similar package, so I know he's got an awesome bike. But he's still young, super young. And he's a really good supercross rider. And I think him and Davey working together, Millsaps, is awesome. Like, dude, Millsaps works with him. He's hard on him too. So it's not just like he's, you know, getting by.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that kid's going to be a legit player here in a year or two. So he's still doing great. I just, after that opening round, I was like, man, this kid might be something really up front right away. Phil Nicoletti with eighth, great ride for him. I want to give a shout out to Robbie Wageman too in ninth. I think that's maybe his best finish ever, and he was as high as sixth, I think, at one point. Mm-hmm. So a really good ride for him. We've seen him in arena cross and, you know, up on the podiums doing really well. So he's been riding great. And Hunter Yoder, 10th. Awesome ride for him. A couple of the notes I have overall here, and I'll let you guys chime in with your thoughts. I thought it was a great of Smith to, like, recoup from those couple of mistakes he made and still get to fourth, keep himself in it. And, man, the points are tightened up. Levi Kitchen leading now with 106. Smith, 4 points back. RJ, you're 5 points back. And Marchbanks is 19 back. He's still a little ways, but that, man, it's really throw a blanket over you top three. This is still wide open.
Yeah, no, for sure. Bruce can also talk about it. Like, I mean, it can change so much. And those East-West shootouts, those East-West shootouts are going to be pivotal. Like, because Smitty had that night last night where, you know, he makes all those mistakes and still gets a fourth. Well, he makes all those mistakes in that East-West rounds. He is getting fourth. He's maybe a 10th or 12th. Like, that's just the difference. And those, Nashville and Salt Lake are definitely going to have a big asterisk next to it. Like, you got to perform at those rounds to, you know, pull this thing off.
That's very true.
I remember Minneapolis used to be the opener for the West back in the 90s, dating myself here. But we'd show up, and I was racing against Wyndham. Well, on the West, when we show up, you got Pichon, you got, you know, Ferry, Dowd, you got all these guys who are legit from the East. And Kevin won. I ended up getting fourth. And, man, that's a big point swing, you know, rather than being three back. Now I'm, you know, you're talking about 5, 6, 7 points all of a sudden. So, they have a huge impact on the championship chases.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, dude, we still have Seattle Open Stadium, Nashville Open Stadium, Salt Lake. So, well, I mean, there's definitely a lot more that can play into this thing.
Hey, I didn't think about that. You're right. Jeez. I mean,
you've got some good luck though coming into these next rounds though. You know, you've done pretty well at these places. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, St. Louis, the best dirt in the entire world. And then won there, first win, and then Denver also. Dude, another Denver outdoor stadium. So I mean, I'm not hoping that we get a mud one, but there's a possibility we do.
Yeah.
Well, go practice in the rain out there, I guess, is what you're trying to say. Hey, let's look real quick here at the this 450 main event brought to you by Max's Tires. So Roczen and Plessinger win their heats, and which was interesting to see both of those guys get off one and two in the main. And for me, kind of the what we call that Max's moment of the night in that main event was AP going down, because if you paid attention, like, those two were already starting to gap the field. I feel like for whatever reason, those two were on all night. And when AP slid out, Roczen already had a pretty good cushion, and he did exactly what you were talking about, RJ. Just started clicking off laps, no mistakes, and came easy to him, right?
Yeah. I mean, and dude, I'm so stoked for AP because of how well he's riding right now.
Heck yeah.
And just, yeah, I mean, even just the last couple of years, like, dude, there was plenty of days where, I mean, dude, I'm smoking him on the 250. Even, dude, before he got on the new, or not the new, the factory edition frame, like, I mean, dude, there wasn't many days where he was much faster than me. Like, dude, I was still smoking him. So then, yeah, just to see the whole change come around and how well he's doing on dry tracks. Because everybody wants to say he's a mud rider, but dude, he was unreal, like, the last, you know, 2 weekends. The heat races, the best I've ever seen him ride. I think he definitely would have had something for Kenny in that main event.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was pivotal because AP wasn't going to just let him go have it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? AP's fit too. Like, he's going to get tired. Like, he can run that speed. I don't know. You guys weren't there. Like, man, the crowd and the fans.
You can hear it on TV. You can hear it on TV.
And that definitely plays a role also.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fans were loud. They also booed Jet again, which I thought was interesting. I didn't know if that was going to be just local here, but, man, it carried over into the into Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. This the public. They like to take things and run with it. So
don't slip have to deal up. With it.
Yeah.
Yeah, RJ, it's got to make you nervous a little bit because you're like, man, I do one thing they don't like. I'm going to start getting booed. Doesn't take
much.
Yeah,
but yeah, they forget about it faster if you start winning. I mean, hey, Jet, yeah, Jet wins. What was it, Anaheim 2? Or no, Detroit. Right? I think he won Detroit.
Yeah.
But dude, Anaheim 2, the boos there were unbelievable.
Yeah, it was bad.
And then I'm sure it was much better. I mean, I was just here in Arizona also, and it was much better there than what it was in A2. So
yeah.
I think give it a couple more weeks and it'll die down.
All right. So let's look a little deeper into the field here, guys. Anderson getting second. I thought it was a solid ride for him. I was maybe a little surprised to see him not push up at Rocks and more. I know Kenny was riding great, but I feel like Anderson's really been on fire lately and almost expected him to come up and fight for that win.
Yeah. Yeah. But it kind of goes back to also Ping what RJ was saying too. I think he had that good gap where he was able to really manage that race, you know, not let him get too close to him. So,
yeah. And I'll say also, like I was saying how the track was, like it wasn't forgiving. Like if you had to be on point and to try to go faster, it could possibly go into a mistake or, I mean, dude, like I said, it was slick as hell out there. So,
yeah. So it was a little hard to really push. Like you had to kind of be careful where you were aggressive. Cause that it's hard to go track someone down and try to ratchet up your intensity when the track won't let you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how the track raced all day. It was like, it looked sweet, long rhythms, everything, but there's really only one speed you could go, and they were really close.
Yeah, I didn't love the track kind of from my perspective because I don't think it made for good racing. I mean, if you look at where everybody started outside of crashes, there wasn't a ton of passing, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't a good track for racing.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Jeff put on a good ride. I will say he was one of the guys that moved through three or four guys anyway, and got his way into third. Good ride for him. And he's sneakily just adding points to his lead. And I feel like these guys better be careful because kind of what we worried about happening early on before the season started, Bruce, was he starts getting some wins and reeling them off or just solid finishes while those other guys keep shuffling around. And he he's already got a 6-point lead.
Yeah. Well, I think he, like you said, he's definitely being sneaky about being able to manage his points lead and, you know, and to get some points. But man, there was a couple scary moments last night. Did you see him case that triple before you got, you
twice.
Know, before that? Yeah. Like bad. And that, that was pretty scary. And I know there was, a couple points, where, I can't remember who it was. I think it might've been, I think Webb kind of came into him pretty hot. And that's what Reed was talking about.
Track.
Yeah. And Chad was talking about that too, where, you know, I think that's kind of what's throwing him off pace a little bit is these guys showing him that front wheel, you know? So, but yeah, at the end of the night, he ends up finding a way to still get on that box and get good points. So, yeah.
What were your thoughts, RJ, on his ride?
I mean, dude, yeah, it's solid. You know, the guy can pretty much go as fast as what he needs to. And those guys aren't easy to pass that he was passing.
No.
And for how that track was, I'd say it's pretty solid.
I thought it was super weird to see him keep coming up short on that triple. Do you think he was spinning? Was he wheel spinning?
Yeah.
Is that was?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's for sure what was happening. And if you tried to get out of that main line, like, you were trying to gauge if you were going to get traction or not. So I'm sure he just thought he was going to get it and he didn't. And way short.
Way short. Yeah.
I feel like his brother Hunter put on a really good ride. Like he kept him, you know, he kept right there with him for a little bit. So,
well, career best, fifth overall, dude. Like look at the guys he beat, Ferrandis, Webb, Stewart, Sexton, AP. Great ride. And did you notice this? First of all, he let Jet, I don't want to say let him go by, but Jet was in a position in that berm where if it was anyone else, I promise you, Hunter.
Oh, he would have cleaned him out.
He wrecked him.
Yeah.
But he let his brother go by. And then when he passed somebody else in front of him, gosh, who the heck did he pass? Maybe it was Webb, but he moved him out of the way just enough that Hunter also got him. Did you guys catch that? I thought it was interesting the way he held him. He didn't take him out, but he held him in that berm and slowed his – like where Webb just had to kind of sit there and wait. And by the time he turned back down and got into those whoops right there, Hunter had already turned around the inside and was following him through. I don't know if it was intentional, but it looked like those guys were working as a team, which was interesting. Kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's – I feel like that move that Hunter did to Jet and, like, kind of let him go changed his whole main event. Like, if he tries to race him hard or whatever and Jet doesn't get around him, well, now he doesn't find that speed or the lines that Jet's taking. So he's not able to do those lines and hold that pace that they had.
Yeah, that's an awesome point. What do you guys think of Tomac? Really weird ride last week. There was so much chatter that his shock messed up or something. Star Yamaha assures me that's not the case. He just said he had some arm pump, had the wrong setup or whatever. And it was really sticky soft in Detroit, like maybe different than what they were expecting. But a good comeback ride for him, I would say. Still, this isn't vintage Eli Tomac, but better.
Yeah, I think he gets going a little bit also. Gets a weekend off. Get to Daytona. That's almost like a for sure for him. I feel like if they can beat him there, then that might kind of solidify, okay, maybe it's not the same Tomac we've seen in the years past. But I definitely still think he has a speed to knock a few wins off or at least a couple and get back in it.
Yeah. What do you think, Bruce? He's 17 points down right now, which is like
it's quite a bit. But I mean, the way I see this whole 450 season going, I mean, anything can happen. You know, I mean, Roczen pulled off a win last night. I still don't want to count Tomac out. This little break, they'll start figuring some stuff out. And like RJ said, I mean, going back to the East Coast dirt, you know, I feel it's softer, gets a little bit more ruddier. He's always been great at Daytona. So, I wouldn't count Tomac out yet. So,
yeah, historically, he always picks it up this time of year and finishes the season really strong anyway. Yeah. And we've got a weekend off. So, if he's got any issues or bike setup problems, I feel like it's the perfect time for them to get that sorted out and him come out swinging. But, RJ, is it at 17 points down? When does he need to start going, okay, like time to start, not panicking, but as Ricky would say, a must situation, whatever the hell that means?
I mean, I would still give it. I mean, I don't think it's like he's out of it by no means. Like you said, like there's so many guys that can still be up there. So he can go from, you know, first to, you know, he can win one weekend and then be eighth the next. It's the same with those guys. Like, I mean, Jet easily could have gotten, you know, fifth or sixth last night, and that's a huge kind of point swing. But yeah, like I said, give him to Daytona. I don't know. It's probably three more rounds. See where he's at then, and then kind of revisit that.
All right, let's run through the rest of the field real quick here. For Anderson, sixth on that Phoenix Racing Factory Connection Honda. Another solid ride for him. We haven't seen anything that's like lighting the world on fire. I feel like we haven't seen Dylan up in a podium spot yet, and I feel like he's capable of it, just haven't seen it. Webb, seventh. Not a good night for him, but it's funny. On the broadcast, they said his average finish in Glendale is seventh. Mm-hmm. So he's right on brand for being out in the desert there. I think he's another guy that pours the coals on starting at our next round and through the rest of the year, because he picks it up late. Stewart, eighth, decent ride for him. Sexton, ninth. He was dealing with a hand injury, apparently. It just sounds like he was milking it through this one to just have that time off to get healthy.
Yeah, I can comment on that one. I was there for this week, like the week, practice week, and he showed up Thursday, and the dude couldn't even do a lap.
Wow.
Like, he legit could not ride a lap. Hit a double, arm came off. So, was like, yeah, there's no way he's racing this weekend. Like, there is no way. So for him to go out there and do what he did, I mean, dude, I was impressed. Very impressed with
that. Wow.
What did he say he did to it? What was the actual injury? No bones are broken, right? Just a contusion?
I don't know all of that. I just know it's something with his left, you know, arm. And, yeah, he just doesn't have strength in it. Okay. So yeah, wow. For him to do what he did was impressive.
Wow. Well, that's good that they're coming into this break then for him, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
Great timing for him. Yeah. He is down. He's in third, second, 6 points down in the title chase. So still perfectly fine. Just needs to use this week to get healthy. And then AP finished 10th, which was a great comeback for him. He got stuck in that berm. Man, there's nothing worse when you go down early and you either roll off the track and you got to literally wait for the whole field to go by, or in his case, he's just holding the bike there as everyone goes past, because if he tries to spin it around, he's going to hit somebody.
Yeah.
Good comeback for him, though, huh?
Yeah, it was really good.
All right. Well, let's have a quick look at the points here. So Jets at 117. Chase is sitting second at 6 points down. AP is third and 9 points down. Webb's 10 points down. Anderson's 11 points down. So those top five are like, it's just mm-hmm. negligible at this point. Then you've got Roczen 15 down, Tomac 17 down. So all of those guys, seven of them, certainly still capable of winning this title. So that's awesome for us, man. And I still say that AP's crash was the most pivotal moment. We talk about the Max's moment of the night, going down early and taking the pressure off Kenny. It totally changed his race. And again, mixes the points up because AP drops back a bit. So hell of a night. I'm actually looking forward to, a weekend off, but I'm looking forward to see how the series kind of reshapes as we move forward when we come back in Texas.
Yeah,
yep. I'm excited for it.
At the 250 class, once the East Coast comes back around too, that'll be exciting. So there's still so many question marks in that one.
And RJ, well, you get to be a fan too now for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Get to hang out.
You know what one of those question marks isn't?
What's that?
How big are McAdoo's plums? We all know.
Everybody knows. Kidding. Yeah.
Oh man. All right, Wade, what are you going to do over the break?
I'm going to ride the 450 for a bit. Going to spend some time on it. We're not going to go racing, I don't think, on it. But, we're going to spend some time, get some comfort on it, and, just hang out with the kids.
Any chance we'll see you on that 450 in the summer?
No, not the summer. Okay. I mean, I'm just trying to – I'm signed for 250 another year also, but we'll see how it's going. I mean, if I win a championship, you never know. Yeah, I'll do what the bosses tell me to do. And right now, I feel like if I can spend some time on it and learn a bit and maybe help them out, it'll kind of add some value.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Sunday. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, RJ.
Yep. Enjoy the time with your kids on this little break, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See ya.
You got it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we will be back every Thursday with Sight Lap. We've got a special guest, Pierce Brown, joining us for that one. A huge thank you to RJ Hampshire for joining us today. Also want to wish the best out to Nate Thrasher and also Ryder D. Francisco, who took a beating too. Sounds like he's going to be all right, but I want to wish the best for those guys. And thanks for tuning in, Bruce. Appreciate it, brother. We'll catch up with you soon and have a look at Dallas. We get into AT&T Stadium in a couple weeks. That's going to be obviously coming out next Thursday, folks. So don't look for anything this week. And we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in. And lastly, I should also thank our sponsors one more time, Rockin' Turf and Max's Tires. If you guys have any needs for hardscape, artificial grass, the mats that they're making, which are super rad, check them out. Also, Max's Tires, light duty truck tires, awesome stuff. So thanks to those guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.